Welcome to Tinnitus on Your Mind. My name is Johanna Carter. I'm an audiologist, tinnitus advisor, NLP master practitioner, coach, and mentor, with a specialist interest and passion in helping people live well with tinnitus, as I have for many years. Each week, you'll hear information, recommendations, and suggestions. I'm delighted to share today's episode with you, so let's get on with the show. In today's episode, I will be discussing the mind-body relationship with tinnitus, with a reference to sleep, anger, and stress linked to the fight, flight, or freeze response. Before I explore this further, it's important to briefly recap from episode 1 about the mechanisms and cycles that surround tinnitus and how our body reacts. Sound as sensory input and information is extremely important to the function of our brain. Without it, the brain often has to distort and generalise and rely on other senses to get the information for optimal performance. When the brain has a change in sensory information, it can cause the brain to interpret it in a different way. Our brains are absolutely amazing things. They process so much information on a second-to-second basis, working out what's important to us as individuals and protecting us from danger. When tinnitus is present, the brain can unconsciously perceive it as a threat, even though it is normally a symptom of a change in the auditory system. This can cause, in some individuals, a cycle of distress that makes tinnitus perception worse. Our brains perceive it as danger and focus more on it, causing it to become more troublesome and annoying. This in turn will send stress signals around the body, ready for potential danger, causing our body to respond, triggering the autonomic nervous system, what's commonly known as the fight, flight, or freeze reflex. The fight or flight response is an automatic survival mechanism. So what do I actually mean by the mind-body relationship? In a nutshell, our thoughts, emotions, and feelings and behaviour are all linked. Our emotions influence our thoughts and behaviour, how we present ourselves to the world. It doesn't have to start at emotions, as a behaviour such as smiling can have an impact on our thoughts and emotions. So how does this work? The mind-body relationship may start with a situation or trigger, which causes you to have thoughts. This in turn causes emotions and a physical response, which leads to behaviours. So an example of this may be that you're out on your own at night and you see a large group of teenagers ahead of you. You think that they look threatening. This makes you anxious and afraid. You feel your heart beating faster and leads you to walk quicker with your keys in your hand. So in this example, the situation is seeing the teenagers. The thought is that they look threatening. The emotions are anxiety and being afraid. And the physical response or the behaviours are heart beating faster, walking quicker, and keys in your hand. However, if we perceive it differently, this may look like this. So in the same example, but perceived differently, again, you're on your own and you see a large group of teenagers ahead of you. You think that they're having fun together. This makes you remember having fun with your friends. This brings back pleasant memories and makes you happy. This makes you smile and have an open body posture. So the situation, seeing the teenagers, is exactly the same. The thought, they look like they're having fun. And the emotions, happiness at remembering pleasant memories. The physical response of smiling and open body posture is different to the original thoughts that we had and physical responses. So by changing one thing, which is the thought, this changes the emotion and the physical response. So relating that to tinnitus, the mind-body relationship may look like this. Troublesome tinnitus is the trigger, which causes negative thoughts, which are often things like it's always going to be bad and never get better. This can cause emotions such as anxiety and anger and other emotions and feelings that are not useful. Physical distress is linked to these emotions. What if it continues? Heart beating faster, butterflies in the tummy. This can lead to negative behaviour such as isolation and irritability. As human beings, we are heavily influenced by our own experiences. And what may be important to one person may not be to you. Our thoughts influence our feelings and behaviour and vice versa. It doesn't just flow in one way, it goes round. They all influence each other. Our states and our feelings change throughout the day. We often remember the extreme ones, such as happiness or anxiety. There is the possibility of working on techniques that enable us to reach a resourceful state for the majority of the time. So resourceful state just means a state that actually helps us achieve and be how we want to be, how we desire to be. I often talk to my patients regarding this, as no state or emotion is wrong. However, it may not serve us. It may make us unresourceful. It might not be what we actually want. However, simple techniques such as breaking the state by smiling, listening to music, or going on a walk can help. Usually the first step is awareness, accepting that it is normal to experience unhelpful responses and states, and that we can choose to break this state by doing other activities or changing our thoughts to other possibilities. Our brain likes patterns and will use old ones, even if they don't serve us. However, our brain can change and we can make new patterns that serve us better, that help us become the person that we want to be. I'd invite you now to imagine that you've bought a new home that's in need of renovation. It needs new plumbing and electrical wiring. Unfortunately, you cannot use the original route for the pipes and wires in most of the house. You have to reroute and change the layout. You have had the ability to change and adjust. In a similar way, the reorganisation of the brain can follow that. This is called brain plasticity, and it simply means that the brain has the ability to change or adjust, and this is often due to learning, experiences, and memory formation. It doesn't mean that the brain is plastic, only that it can change. As an audiologist, I often think of this when I imagine hearing loss and the areas of the brain that are being utilised to help people hear. There has been some limited research into brain plasticity and the effect that tinnitus has on the brain and our reactions. One area of the brain that may be affected by troublesome tinnitus and changes to the brain is the reticular system. This is involved with sleep, emotion, stress, and motor control. This helps us focus on different things. So sleep. Sleep's a common question that I'm asked about. I'm commonly asked about sleep and tinnitus. But just because you have tinnitus does not mean that you will have sleep issues. It may be because the normal soundscape or the environmental sounds are either gone or quieter when you go to bed. This may remove the masking of the tinnitus. Tinnitus may be associated with sleep issues. The actual reasons are often unknown and the mechanisms involved are not fully understood. It is widely accepted, though, that lack of sleep can make some individuals' tinnitus worse. I like to think of it as imagining that the brain is a rechargeable battery. During the day, all the data processing, whether conscious or not, uses a large amount of energy. This needs to be replaced, and sleep will do this. Without a full or nearly full battery, it limits its functions, and tinnitus is often perceived as being more troublesome then. I know that if I am lacking in sleep, my tinnitus is often much louder and persistent. I need a good charged battery. However, some individuals can function well on a much lower battery. Everybody is different. As I always say, everyone is individual, and what's true for one person may not be true for another. When I talk to individuals about it, we call it good sleep hygiene. It's about routine though, not cleanliness. Sleep hygiene is all about routine in sleep times and often involves relaxation, such as meditation, visualization, breathing routines, and baths, just to name a few different things. Other techniques and tips that may help, including avoiding stimulation before bedtime, such as drinking caffeine or activities that stimulate the mind, such as working or watching an action film or playing on your games console. If you are aware of the tinnitus more due to the quieter surroundings, then it may be helpful to explore other sounds such as pillow speakers or sound generators that may help, as we discussed in episode 2. I've also been asked about medication for sleeping. Again, this is a very individual decision and needs to be undertaken with a health professional such as your GP. Sometimes it's only needed for a short time to re-establish good sleep patterns, and I would be an advocate of this, but obviously this is something that you need to discuss with a health professional. I also wanted to mention anger as part of this podcast. I think it's really important. It's important to be aware of it, and in my experience of working with individuals with tinnitus, anger often plays a role in thoughts and feelings. It is a normal emotion to be experiencing, and this anger can often be directed at themselves or other people when I speak to people with tinnitus. A feeling of being let down by their body, why has this happened to me, and being annoyed with your brain for allowing me to hear the tinnitus are all common things that I have heard. Even knowing the mechanism for tinnitus can be helpful, and that the brain is trying to be helpful by protecting us. This often leads to a cycle of basically feeling bad about feeling bad by being angry. And I frequently discuss how kindness to ourselves, forgiveness to our bodies or others is needed to help break this cycle. But it's also having the awareness that anger is a normal emotion to be experiencing. There is no good and bad emotions. It's just whether or not they are actually helping us at the time. I would always encourage individuals to seek medical advice if you are worried about any medical condition. As an audiologist, I see many individuals with tinnitus, most of whom don't need further investigation. It is rarely anything to worry about, as tinnitus is normally a symptom of changes to the hearing system. There are various therapies, techniques, and help available, and I'd advocate for you to find out more if you feel you would like to. So, top tips and information from today. Our thoughts, emotions and feelings and behaviour are all linked. Our emotions influence our thoughts and behaviour, how we present ourselves to the world. It doesn't have to start at emotions, as a behaviour such as smiling can have an impact on our thoughts and emotions. Just because you have tinnitus does not mean that you will have sleep issues. Tinnitus may be associated with sleep issues, and the actual reasons are often unknown. The mechanisms involved are not fully understood, and it's widely accepted, though, that lack of sleep can make some individuals' tinnitus worse. We are all human. A range of emotions and thoughts is normal. Kindness and forgiveness to ourselves and others is a key element, in my opinion, to avoid feeling bad about feeling bad. In the next episode, I'm going to be exploring relaxation with tinnitus. I do hope that you can join me then. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you got something out of it. Check out the show notes for more details on the things discussed today. I would love to hear your feedback on today's episode, and you can find me over on Facebook on my page of the same name as the podcast, Tinnitus on Your Mind with Johanna Carter. I would love it also if you could leave a review, and don't forget to press follow if you want my show to automatically download every week. I can't wait to speak to you in the next episode.